Hi, I'm Richie Mackay.
And I'm David Bold, and you are listening to the Wrong Buyers Podcast.
And on show 45, we are joined by the newly crowned under 25 International Indoor Bowls Council singles champion, England's Harry Goodwin. A bit of a tongue twister, but we got there in the end. We have our regular preview of the World Indoor Championships at Potters with none other than the current champion, Mr. Les Gillett. We are also delighted to have our old mate on the show, Jason Parkinson. As usual, many thanks to our sponsors, XX20, Lean to Succeed, and Balls is Balls. Right, mate, here we go. Show number 45, our Boxing Day special. And our 45th wedding anniversary gift would be sapphire. And I can only think of one thing, is just sapphire and steel. It was used to be 1970s. You'll not remember that, would you?
I was born in 1978, mate.
You were about 78? You're about 49? How old are you now?
44, December the 23rd. So I'm 3 days past my 45th birthday.
Ah, 58. Anyway. Congratulations, mate, getting back into the England team after the trial at Nottingham.
Yes, mate. Very, very happy.
Very good, mate. In his lead.
I am, yes. Yeah, a few eyebrows raised on that one, but...
Job. I wouldn't like to play you in a two ball.
Well, like I say, it's only a couple of years ago since I led off in the Commonwealth Games, isn't it?
So. Oh, that's right, yeah. If people are wondering and eyebrows is raised, you're led in the Commonwealth Games. Best of luck when you go. Is it up at Abbey View, I'm led to believe, in March?
Abbey View, Scotland. Don't know if I've been there before or not.
Yeah, I might have a dodge up for the Scotland game, see when that is. We also, on our social media, I don't know whether you've seen it, you've mentioned it in the competitions, XX20, our thanks to Peter, who's produced a polo shirt. With him being Scottish, it's obviously in the colours of Iron Brew, because it's made from girders, even though me and you are probably built like girders.
Mind you, I think it's a bit more red than it looks. I think it looks a little bit Iron Brewish, but I think it's a bit more red. I think so. I'm not sure, but we shall see. It's the due out. Hopefully, anybody who's ordered them, hopefully they'll have got them just before Christmas. So if you want to drop a comment on anybody, it would be nice for Peter to see any positive feedback on the shirts. They look top notch. They look great.
Yeah, they look good stuff, mate. All good stuff. We did discuss about the rule getting introduced, and I think we've really confused everybody. Because I've read it again, and it's apparently your own ball that you can't interfere with. But then again, you can't interfere with the opponent's ball either. You can't stop your own ball going into the head, and you can't lift a ball out of the way to enable your own ball to go into the head.
You can play with your own balls, but you can't touch anybody else's.
That's it. I mean, everybody's totally confused now, because I played at Horton in the Wild saying, what's this new rule? You kind of pick nothing up now. I'm going, you kind of going out and kick the ball out the way. But I've read it again. Why can't they just write it in plain English? God, I've read the rule 3 times. I still didn't understand it.
I'm sure it'll all come out in the wash.
I'm sure it will.
So, it's our Boxing Day show and our first guest on the show today. We've got the reigning undisputed champion of the under-25 world, Mr. Harry Goodwin. Welcome to the show, Harry. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Pretty good. Going well.
What's it been like since you returned from Belfast? Was it Belfast?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Belfast, County Antrim we played at. Yeah, it's been pretty good, to be fair. Like, obviously, going well, obviously a lot of people have been saying like the well done's and stuff like that. So it's feels pretty good to be a world champ. So yeah.
TV being on the phone for a documentary or anything like that?
No.
It'll come, mate. It'll come.
Bowls
is a massive sport, mate. They'll be talking about it. Didn't you worry about it? They'll be on the phone. In the lead up to that, mate, obviously, you prior to going to the World Under 25s. You obviously had the England trial. I saw you down at Nottingham, and you've made non-travelling reserve. Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
How did things go, mate? What was your thoughts after the trial? Did you feel like you played well?
I thought I played all right. To be fair, I thought I started pretty well. I had a few sort of ropey ends, but all in all, I was pretty happy with how I played. But obviously, going into that trial, obviously, I know the team is fantastic. So it was just about trying to play well. And then if I did get any spot or reserve or anything, happy days. So pretty happy with just getting my name sort of around the picture, if you know what I mean?
Big step in the right direction for you, mate. Obviously, what are you now, 24?
Yeah, 25.
Big step in the right direction. And you can't do any more than go the next day and travel across to Belfast and obviously do what you did over there. How did the competition go as a whole? Was there any sticky points, any concerns during the competition, or was it pretty much smooth sailing? I've got to give credit to Ruby Hill as well. Obviously, you won the mixed pairs.
Ruby was brilliant. First game of the mixed pairs, we played Australia. Thought we played pretty good, but they were just brilliant. They beat us quite comfortably, and I thought we played quite well. So I think that was quite a good thing. Bit of an eye opener to sort of say, right, you need to like get your heads down here, sort of thing. And then the next game of the mixed pairs, we had a sticky one against the USA, which we just got through. And then from there on, I thought we both started playing really good. Like Ruby was just putting bowls close end after end. And then, got a bit more confidence and, went from there, really. So, the first game against Australia was the only real tough point of the week where we lost quite heavily. So,
bit of a sort of tough task for your first game, really. You know, in a lot of respects, they generally come across here and play with tighter stuff that obviously they're used to over there. What were they playing with over here?
Their lead was using Taylor Aces. So they've obviously got a set of bowls. Well, I think they come across with them. And the skip was using Aero Revolutions, which they're a pretty nice set, to be fair, because they used to do them here, but I don't think they do anymore. But I think we've thought this was the best time to play them. Obviously, they've just come over, like, to get on top of them. And I think we weren't shocked, but we were a bit like, Jesus, they did play really good. So it was a bit like they settled really quickly. But obviously, they had been practicing for a fair few days down there, I think. So they did know the greens and knew what they were doing. So
generally the case for the Aussies, they never come across without that sort of preparation, and everything's to a point as far as they're concerned. There's nothing sort of left to chance in these world competitions for them, because everything they do is obviously, it goes towards potential more funding for the bowls team over in Australia. So world honours are quite a massive thing for them as well.
Yeah. You could see that they were just there to win, nothing else. It was like very, like, they don't say too much. It's just straight down sort of, thing. Where I suppose when we're playing in England, there's always quite a lot of like talking on the green and stuff like that. You don't really get that with them.
In fact, it's very much, bordering on a professional sport for them as well. They get well funded for it. I've got no doubt there would have probably been a little bit of a bonus for them to do well in those competitions as well. I might be wrong, but I know the likes of the Commonwealth Games, there's certainly cash incentives there for them to actually do well in those type of competitions. So similar to the Malaysians in a lot of respect. I mean, the Malaysians have just made absolute bounds over the last few years because they are just so meticulous, and the coaches on the back of the green. Were Malaysia in this one, happy or not?
No, they weren't. No, weirdly, they weren't in it. I was surprised that they weren't, because being the world, I thought they would have been.
The tournaments I've seen them in, the coaches on the back of the green with the camera and video the whole game, and then after the game they go and have a debrief and they watch the game back, and they're really meticulous with regards to the coaching setups and structure of the deliveries, and I'm sure I've heard before that they've got to deliver X, or the international bowlers have to deliver X amount of balls every day as part of the sort of regime they go through as far as competing and playing for the country, which you could sort of say, do we need more of that?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? And unless it's a professional sport out here, I think it's hard to, if you're actually going to get like paid for doing that sort of stuff, and I think it's hard to tell people to do that, isn't it? You know,
it'll come, Harry. It'll come, Harry. Just a matter of time, mate. You'll be paid to play balls.
Tell me about
that. Nice. If a kid made a play balls, I'd play with a mankini on and run up and down the green 30 times a game, I'll tell you.
Too much information.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be there.
Got a regular guest on who seems to join us every Christmas now and every other podcast, to be honest with you. We've got Mr. Parkinson joining us. Happy as Larry, as always. He hasn't won once, has he? Gee. And we've also got our special guest on for this year, and I think an ideal person to not only talk about his year after winning the World Championships, but also to talk about the upcoming World Championships as well. So welcome, Mr. Gillett.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So we're going to completely ignore Jason for the first part of this, and I'm going to come straight to you, Les. So since winning the World Championship last year, Les, what's your year been like? Give us a little bit of a rundown. Money, I can
that's
imagine.
It, yeah. None of the above, Dave. No, none of the above. I mean, to be fair, it's been interesting. I've had a few little offers here and there to go into some openings, been to a few bowls clubs, do presentations, etc. But I think the main of my year has been people that's been really welcoming to me, and you know, I've made a lot of new friends and we're in the World Singles, and it's just been You don't know who your friends are until you sort of do something like this. And I've had loads and loads of messages, and people want me to go and do displays at bowls, greens, etc. But just my local clubs really have been fantastic, and you just want to know what it feels like to win the World Championship. And especially my last bowl, I bowled in the World Championship. What was your feeling when you did that, etc. But yeah, it's been amazing. It's been, I think one of the great things for me is it's been nice to walk onto a bowl screen as world champion, which has been a long, long time.
Well, I'm going to come back to that last bowl of the World Championship shortly. But before that, I'm amazed you actually won it in the end, because I tipped you from the last 16. I looked at the and it was mainly because your price that was available for you in the last 16 was massive. So I'd looked at it and I thought you had a big chance. But as far as the progression through the tournament went last year, for me, it looked as if you just gradually built your way through to it. I think you had a real tussle your first game, if I remember rightly, and then you just gradually seemed to get better and better and better every game.
I think so. I think the pairs, I didn't play particularly well with Jason. The mixed pairs, I think myself and Kyle went out first game. Played Ronnie Duncan first game, and I always knew that would be tough, but I managed to sort of get through that. And I felt I played okay. And then I played Ken Chan. Ken's a bit of a character. And I've met Ken a few times since winning the World Singles, and he's lovely. He really is lovely. And then I played, I think it was Jamie Chesney in the quarterfinal, and it was horrendous. I was absolutely horrendous first set, and Jamie was amazing. And then it was just my experience. But I think Jamie started missing a few shots here and there, and I got to a tie break, and we all know what tie breaks are like. And I managed to squeak the tie break and shook Jamie's hand and went, I don't know how I won that, but you know what it's like. And then the semi-final, I played Alex, and it's the first semi-final I've played since all my semi-finals since I played in red bowls. I've always been green bowls, and I've lost every single time in green bowls. I felt relatively confident because I was going back to red bowls. Yeah, I won so comfortably, and I felt I played really well that game, and that sort of led up to the final against Paul.
So I've got to touch on that last ball. How tight were your backside cheeks when you let go of that last ball?
Paul missed his last bowl, and I stood on the mat. You have that feeling, don't you? You think, what an opportunity, because I could see it was a good yard away. And I thought, what an opportunity. And I'd ran, if you remember, I'd ran previously with my second and third bowl. And I hit Paul's bowl off of my third. And I changed my hand to my backhand with the last bowl. And I let it go. And I actually thought I was really, really good. And then if you remember that it's your forehand going back towards the commentary box, my backhand. If you go slightly wide, it runs straight. And that's what it did. I let it go and it ran a bit straight and ran on. And then I think Chris Rogers in the crowd was clapping, saying, well done, well done. And the thing weren't bloody stopping. And I was and I literally thought I'd run out. But then, luckily it fell in. I think I was in by about 4 or 5 inches. But yeah, it was a bit squeaky, say the least.
But Ben, and Ben in mind, I had you at 16-1, Les. There was a brick about the football screen, I'll tell you.
Oh, trust me, I'm me.
I saw that
I'm
ball
me.
Rolling and rolling. My heart was sinking.
Mine was, Dave, don't worry. Mine was sinking a lot. But yeah, it was. Yeah, it stopped just in time, thank God. So
yeah, it was. I mean, looking obviously the angle on the TV, Jason knows is better than anybody, but it's sometimes completely deceiving. And for me, as the ball finished, it still looked as if I thought Paul might have called a measure, but obviously on the green itself, it probably looked totally different.
Yes,
yeah. It didn't look as if it was a for the last ball to win a world championship, a giveaway. But on the green, was it obviously a lot closer than what it probably looked on screen?
I think it was a lot, 6-7 inches in easily. Wow. But because the angles, I think Paul's nearest ball was the Jack High ball that I ran off. With my third bowl, and it was a good 6 inches in the end. I think it ran 2 feet farther than it should have run.
No, it was great stuff, Les. And before we move on to Mr. Parkinson, how's form going into this year's? We'll talk about some tips and things shortly, but how are you feeling going into this year's as reigning champion? Who have you got?
I got Stuart Irwin from Cumbria.
That's right, yeah.
I'll talk about Stuart first. I watched Stuart play a lot of times at Potters, and I like Stuart quite a lot, and I've chatted to him quite a few times, and he's just such a lovely guy and genuine chap. And I've always watched him and thought, this guy is bloody good. And I really think he's really, really, really good. And I watched him in the trial. Oh, I saw he won a national triples outdoor today this year at Leamington. And I watched him in the England trial and I thought he was good then as well, very good, and, you know, played exceptionally well. So, you know, opponent-wise, it's going to be tough, without a shadow of a doubt, and I've got to be on my ball. My form, I would say it's okay. I've won the Lincoln Open singles. I went to Scotland, Scottish Open. I felt decent up there, played really well, and I think generally my form's okay. But until you get back to Potters on the portable rink, you never know, because it depends how it plays. I mean, it could be quick and swingy. It could be heavy and tight. You just don't know.
Teeth problems here. No teeth problems.
Probably the gin. Don't worry.
Three alcoholics on here.
Until you get to Potters, you never quite know what the green's going to play like. So, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I've walked on every green I've played on since I won the World Singles, and I've been more comfortable. And as weird as it sounds, you know, over the years gone by, I felt pressure because I've not quite got there and not quite done it, but I've always walked on with that little bit of air of confidence, but just comfortable. Just, you know, I know I've been there, done it, and now I've got a t-shirt after 40 odd years of playing bowls. So everything now is a bonus for me.
Just a word of warning for you, Les. Can you remember your debut, 1998?
1997.
Oh, 97. You've clocked as one. I thought it was 98.
Well, sorry, 97 was the Bupacare Homes Open,
right,
at Preston Guild Hall. My debut for the World Championships was 1998, and that was still at Preston Guild Hall. And I lost to Paul Foster 3-0 in the second round.
But what did you do in the first round?
Beat Hugh Duff 3-0.
Defending champion. Unseeded, yes, as well, you were.
Yeah, UDF, yeah, 3-0.
This is why we call him Statler, you know. This is all he does. He hasn't got a life, you know.
That's all I do. And that was the last year at Potters, at Preston, by the way.
It was last year, because I defended the Bupacare Homes Open at Potters. They moved it that year.
I'll just reiterate what you were saying about Stu there as well. I mean, we'll talk about Jason, we'll bring the man in now. And I think the great thing now, and we've said it before, no disrespect to previous years, but I think the quality of the qualifiers going through to these latter stages of the championships now, I don't think there's any easy games. There was some in the past you could look at and think, not so bad, but I think a lot of the qualifiers are top-notch now. And Stewie had a great trial. I was with him in the rink. He had a really great trial, and I think he's improved year on year on year. So, it's going to be
thanks.
A battle. It's going to be an absolute battle, Les. And do you know what it is? For a reigning champion, he's probably one of the ones you just definitely talk about. I'll leave it there.
No, I think you're right there, Dave. I think you, the quality of the qualifiers this year, especially. I mean, you've got some absolute cracking first round matches, and there's a lot that can go either way. There really is a lot that can go either way, and I think the standard of the games will be good. And you've got the same in the world pairs as well. You've got some great pairs that have qualified through in that as well. So I think all in all, there should be a few surprises. There should be a few shocks. If you know players, how they can play, perhaps there won't be shocks to the players themselves, but general public-wise, there'll probably be a few shocks.
The first World Indoor Championships were held at Corbridge, North Lanarkshire, in 1979, with only 10 players. And guess who won it? Yes, Mr. DJ Bryant. Did you know the first sponsor of the World Indoor Bowls Championships was WD&HO Wills, a tobacco company from Bristol? They were the first company to include those little cigarette cards in their packaging. Now I hear you ask, who were the other sponsors? Well, we've had Embassy, Midland Bank, Churchill Insurance, Saga, Potter's Holiday, Just Retirement, and in 2023, the new Imagine Cruisin'. There have been a total of 24 different winners of the singles title, but only one overseas success, and that was the dashing Aussie in 1992, the ladies' favourite, Ian Schuback. The 1987 final between Tony Alcock and David Bryant was played over 9 sets and lasted an unbelievable 6 hours. Another episode of Flockett Insight. The 1988 championships were moved to Ali Pali, London, but only lasted for 1 year because the following year it moved to the Preston Guildhall. After 10 years at Preston, the event moved to its current home, Hopton-on-Sea at Great Yarmouth. The first Women's Championships took place in 1988 and it was played at our old favourite Leonelli, or Clenethley if you want to be picky. 2021, well, it was played behind closed doors, well, curtains actually, due to the COVID outbreak. 2023 will be the 25th year at Potters and a record 70 live games will be streamed. Every competitor for the first time will get the experience of playing in the auditorium and on the famous blue carpet. Welshman Jason Greenslade made his World Championships debut in 1988, and that makes him the longest serving player in the 2023 field. So, 5 competitions, 65 players, over 22 days. Who will go onto the Roll of Honour?
Mr. Parkinson, happy with the way the season's gone qualifiers-wise? And I'm sure you'll reiterate what we've just been talking about there with regards to the quality that's at Potters.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we're always looking at trying new things and attracting new members, whether that's members that used to play quite a few years ago or, you know, new members coming in that have never played the PBA before. We've had a little bit of both, to be honest. The membership for the PBA UK and Europe has it doubled last year, almost doubled again this year. I think for the two, the World Championships and the Scottish, I think we've had just over 1,200 entries, I think, which we had to get through in 28 different qualifying events over about 9 weeks, I think. I kind of learned very quickly how to live on about 3 hours sleep. My car did millions of miles. But yeah, I think, you know, for what Les is saying, it's true. I think the people that are qualifying are getting better and better. And I think what it is personally, especially at Potters, the other one's slightly different now. We've moved away from Portable Ring. I think, and we've said it a few times, I think, the first time you get a good qualifier at Potters, the good players, but on the Portable Rink, it's a different animal. It's not just being that good player. It's not allowing the rink to suck you into the game that you would normally play for some players, where the likes of yourself and like Stuart and that, they've been there, they've done it, they've learned from those mistakes, and they'll go back and they're already that one step ahead of what they were last year because they've learned, they've experienced, they're not afraid of the crowd. Some people come out and they're not used to having that kind of an audience so close that the Potters auditorium brings. And that's another thing. It's just how different people react. I mean, the qualifiers this year are absolutely superb. A lot of younger people coming through as well. And it's the first time in 4 years that I think it's back to almost where we were. All the overseas players are back this year. There's been a few little changes based on feedback, which I'm sure you're going to touch on. But yeah, we do always look at the feedback that people bring. As long as it's constructive, I'll take any knock on the chin if you wish. It's when people just have a little bit of a gripe for the sake of having a gripe, and you try and explain that they've not really done the homework, if you wish, as to why things go on. But yeah, I think it's great. I mean, like Les, number one, so he likes his Red Bulls this year, right at the top of the draw. So he has that plus side, if you wish, of staying red all the way through the event. That is a slight bonus, if you call it. I suppose it's a bonus if you prefer your Red Bulls. If you're at the top of the draw, you prefer your green ones. Not the same bonus. You're going to be down at the bottom. But yeah, I think it's going to be really good. I think the green's going to be quite quick because we normally build in 3 days. Due to where the New Year and New Year's Eve is placed this year, it's being built a lot quicker. They're going to work more through the night, so it's going to be a lot tighter for the first few games. I think the Friday and Saturday pairs games will be a little bit rapid.
We've lauded praise over the over the last couple of years, Jason, with regards to obviously the work that's gone on, but got to heap a load of praise yet again on the work that the WBT have got to secure the major sponsor that you've got for the World Championships this year as well, which has come quite, late in the day, but a major sponsor all the same, which is great for the sport going forward.
Yeah, so, it's a massive team effort, not just here at the World Bowls Tour, but also through Potter's Resorts as well. You know, John and Mark and the team, they're actively out there, huge supporters of us, which is great. They're always on our side, if you wish. They also give us the feedback, and we work together really, really well. I think this last couple of years has really seen a difference. So like I say, the benefit is paying off. We have got a new sponsor. Yes, it's very, very late. I thought, here we go again. And right at that last 13th hour, we get a sponsor. So it's a huge thanks to Potter's Resorts, John Potter and his team, and a massive thank you to Imagine Cruising, who have entered into a 2-year deal with us.
Rich, anything you'd like to ask?
I just can't look at it. I mean, it's a shame people can't see these videos.
Oh, they will. They will.
I'm going to say, what are you wearing?
Do you know what it is?
After what he put me through last night, everybody is going to see what he's wearing, trust us.
One question for you, Jess. Now, we know everybody, there's three things. When you qualify for the event, you're over the moon. You get to play on the blue carpet, you're over the moon. And you get to play, hopefully, a 16 seed or an overseas player. This year's draw, the four qualifiers are playing each other in prelim. Is that because we played extra qualifying events? Or I know there's always been prelims, which possibly people haven't seen draw-wise?
Yeah, you bang on there. I mean, like you say, the prelims have always been there, slightly different the way they've looked, where I know we've had a bit of feedback about that. Certain people have ended up in a prelim. At the end of the day, prelims happen in any top sport. That's what I'd like to say, first of all, with that one. Prelims are never shown. People think people come in and we start at the 32 stages, whether it's pairs at the 16 or the singles. The prelims have always been there. People have just never had the chance to see them due to them being played on the bowler's bar. We had a lot of feedback from players and overseas, where people come over thinking they're in the event, but don't feel maybe that they're in the event because they played on the bowler's bar. I tried to do a few little bits of streaming on my phone last year. So we took that feedback on. And then what we've done this year is everything will be played on the portable ring. The prelims are still there. I mean, we normally get three prelims. There's normally three extra UK ones in there, which you see. And then there's normally an IIBC, the international one. They normally get a place in the draw as well. They forfeited the place this year due to the back of just coming out of the COVID. So that gave us an extra space. So I thought, well, until a few years ago, Scotland used to have two entries into the World Championships anyway. Then it went down to one. And I thought it'd be quite nice to get it back to two. The reason for that is, one, it's quite a big spread out country, as you know, a lot of travelling involved playing games in Scotland. And two, just the sheer quality of player in Scotland. You know, bowls is their life. I always like going to Scotland, whether I'm playing or running an event. I just like the atmosphere. I like the competitiveness. It just feels slightly different. And I just thought it was the right move to do. The way, when the draw, we did the live draw, there was myself and Martin Gale and a couple of independent witnesses. One was Jackie Henderson, a sponsor, and the other was Scott Edwards, a player in the draw himself. And in a way, because obviously I wear two hats, I have my World Bowls Tour hat as the corporate director, and then I have a PBA hat running all the events. For me, the PBA hat, that was the worst possible draw for me. Yeah. Worst possible draw to get, the UK people, especially the two Scottish lads playing each other straight. That's, to me, that was the worst possible draw. but it was just a live draw. It was an honest draw. Yeah. I will never put my name to anything that isn't open and honest because I don't like it myself. Yes, so that was the worst possible outcome. It was just a bit unfortunate in a way. But what we did was, what I want to also say, the way the prize money is staggered, it's slightly different. So even though the two prelim players, whoever loses will still get the same amount of money as whoever wins into the first round. So they're still guaranteed, both of them are guaranteed the same amount of money at that stage.
That's good, mate.
And a free cruise.
A free cruise in the back of Jason's car. Yeah, that'll be right.
Yeah, I might just have to do, I mean, Grant and I were talking about, do we try a cruise? I might have to do a little bit of big wigging, do you call it big wigging or something?
Corporate big wigging, yeah.
Yeah, I have to do a little bit of corporate stuff there. Why I last give us a cruise.
But yeah. I've got to take my hat off to you, mate, because it was one of my major bugbears was that people were qualifying and they were going back in the bowler's bar. So I take my hat off that everybody now gets the experience on the blue portable ring, which is invaluable experience for people going down.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, it's great to have that experience for people. The other plus side of it, which I quite like, is like last year, I think it might have been Wayne in his pairs prelim was playing. No, it wasn't Wayne. It was somebody else that was playing two people from Canada. And I got a private message to my Facebook saying, we want to support our guys. How do we see it? And I said, well, unfortunately, we're not streaming that part. And I felt a little guilty, really. So I thought, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I'll stream it on my phone. It won't be any decent quality, but at least you can see where this time it's going to be live streamed straight away. So everybody will get the shot in the limelight, if you wish. It makes our day slightly longer because we normally have one game break, two games break, one game. So the first 6 days or the first 7 days, there's 5 games a day. So the first game starts at 9:30, where it would normally start at 10, but we squeeze in 2 games in before we have the lunch and then the dinner. So it's ever changing for the better. We are listening. We can't listen to everybody because there's only a certain amount of stuff you can do year by year by year. But people must understand we definitely are listening and we are making certain changes. More events coming on, you know, we've got the Scottish back. That was a lot of hard doing, really. We got the UK Open back last year. The good news is, I think, for me, just going forward, it's people are coming to us again now. People are actually approaching us. A lot of it off the back of the Commonwealth Games as well, to be fair. You know, bowls is still a family, no matter whichever organisation it is. India, since they did really, really well, they've approached us. Back in talks with Jersey again. The Gretchens have approached me down there, asking to get involved. Cyprus want to get involved. So, there's lots of different doors opening. I'm looking at other different things as well, on top of the tour, if you wish. I'm looking at maybe trying to see how we can build something, maybe like another little series within that we're playing regular games. But we're always actively looking to try new things. But I think it's good going forward and keep Les in the limelight. You know what I mean? He's the man. I've been keeping up to date. He's the man to beat when he goes to these OSCs. Everyone's after him.
Target on his back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's all good.
Great stuff, Jason. Yeah, it's going great. And long may it continue.
And now we return to Harry Goodwin.
Moving
on from that one, they made into the singles. So the world singles, how did that one go? Was that one a bit more smooth sailing?
Yeah, that was. So again, I played the Australian guy, Nick, first up. Straight after losing to him in a pairs. So I was thinking, right, got a game on our hands here. You know, he's just hammered us in a pairs. Like, that can't happen again. And I just got out of the blocks really quickly, played a certain length. And I think won the first set sort of 12-5 and then second set 7-2, I think it was. So it was actually quite an easy game, but I just got out quickly. And then all the other group games were relatively straightforward, really. There wasn't too many, just I was playing pretty good. I was pretty happy the way I was playing and managed to get through the group as a top, which is quite good because you go straight through to the semi. If you come second or third, you then go off into a playoff against they actually did it as you played the same person in your group rather than the opposite group for some reason. I'm not sure why, but that's where they did it. And then semi I played a Scottish guy, Bradley. That was a tough game, to be fair. Managed to just sneak both sets by one. And then final was back against the Australian guy, Nick, again. And, I felt like in the final, I didn't start how I wanted to. I was really sloppy going a certain way down towards the bottom green. And we lost the first set by one, but it felt like I'd lost it by a few more. It didn't feel like a set I was ever going to win. And then second set, I just played a little bit better second set. And then, just started playing my length for what I was comfortable with and, managed to get the win really on down the tiebreak. So, I was buzzing.
Great stuff. Understandably so, mate. And massive congratulations for obviously doing it. And, it's nice. It's nice always as well to have a look on social media and have a look at obviously the posts that English Indoor Bowling Association are sharing. And it's nice to see a lot of the comments that you'll have seen yourself. A lot of people who follow you and obviously have supported you while you're over there as well, which is great.
It's massive having like the support, you know, like when you sort of feel like you got people behind you, it does give you more confidence. And like EIBA and Carl, they're really good all week, giving us support and just being there for us, really. So it was brilliant.
Great just stuff. Going back to that tiebreak, Harry. I've watched it. You bowled a massive ball to draw the shot with your third ball. The Aussie lad ran it off. Now, with your last ball, I was watching you. Did you think you were going to get back or not with your last ball? Your body language seemed to think, he thinks you might be a little bit wider.
I thought when I let it go, I knew I was a touch wider, but I felt I was a little bit up from my last one.
Yeah.
But obviously, I'm looking at it now, because I went a touch wider, it probably took a little bit out of it. So, when it just bent in, I was just like, oh, thank God for that.
And were you slightly surprised that he didn't run at it? I mean, you were over the moon that he didn't run at it.
Obviously, I had the tee.
Yeah.
And my third one was a little bit more out, wasn't it, than my he could run it off. I thought the way he played, he was really good at that runner. I thought he may have just backed himself just a half the bowl out.
Yes. Aye.
But he tried to draw down the hand, which I thought was a tricky hand.
He
had to be bang on the line to get it. So I just thought to myself, if he draws it, fair play.
He wasn't far away, to his credit. He didn't miss by much. But I think if the roles were reversed, would you have run at it? If the roles were reversed, you would have actually probably played the draw that you played.
I probably would have. I don't know. That's a difficult one because obviously the tee, obviously it wasn't winning the tee. It was bowl or nothing. Yeah. I probably would have drawn backhand because I felt like that was a hand I was playing all game.
Yeah,
and he had played the backhand, which I played my last really well all game. I thought he would just try and just beat me, draw inside. That's what I thought he may do. But then the way he played, I thought he would just run at it. But I was surprised he played the forehand, but he weren't far away. He was
he was
close.
Yeah,
but I was just happy that I made him because I wanted to make sure I got sharp. You know what I mean? I didn't want to lose it on he didn't have to play a bowl. I wanted him to make him play a bowl. So the fact that he played it, if he got it, I'd have been like, fair play to you. You know, you've got it, you lost. But when he missed, I was like, thank God for that.
It was even more tense because when I was watching it, the stream was buffering. So he let the ball go. It froze. And I'm going, okay then. Did it move? Yeah. Stopped again.
Obviously, when I'm playing, you're not really taking any notice of all that sort of stuff. But after the game, a lot of people were like, it was miles behind. I didn't know about that. You're just sort of just playing your game, aren't you, really? And
I mean, we never suffer buffering, do we, mate?
No, definitely not. Always clear as a bell. I was dreaming. Never failed.
Yeah, I think because it's literally it's near enough on a farm, this bowls club. I don't ever get signal or anything.
It is a bit in the middle of nowhere, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, and it was freezing in there as well.
No, mate, like I say, best of luck for the rest of the season. Best of luck, obviously, for your career going onwards. great to see your results and your successes over the last 12 months or so. And obviously, wish yourself a lovely Christmas and lovely New Year. Sure, we'll see you on the circuit at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. And Merry Christmas to you.
Cheers, Matt.
Hope to see you back. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Harry. Thanks, Matt.
Take care, buddy.
All the best, Matt.
And there'll be more from Harry in part two of our Boxing Day special. Is that blooper from Show 44. We apologise if anybody is offended, but it was just too good to leave out as I was trying to catch me right-hand man right off guard. Right, here we are again, mate, show number 44, and the anniversary gift is an electronic device. So for the fella, we could possibly say a game of Operation, and for the women, the vibrator. Nope, we'll cut that bit out.
I
would put a beep in that. And so here we go. Welcome to Show 44, everybody. And the anniversary gift is an electronic device. For the fellas, game of Operation, something like that. Or maybe something, a little clock or something. For the woman, what do you
Or in some of the lasses, I've been with a hydraulic drill.
And welcome to the late night Wrong Bias podcast.
Get out of doing one of these. Like, I've been thinking about that. We need to do an X-rated podcast.
An X-rated, explicit, and over 18. Right. Very well, I'll cut that. I'll stick that in the bloopers. Right, oh no, that starts again. And now it's time for the Kiss of Death. Yes, that's right. It's our singles predictions for Potters.
Taking yourself out of the draw, Les. Who's your dark horse for the World Championships?
Oh, okay. So I would say, based on previous performances, Wayne Wilbrous. And then my second dark horse will be... I want a pony.
You want a pony? I know it's Christmas.
my second dark horse, I think, will be Sam Tolshard.
He's my first dark horse.
Well, I'll mirror that one because he was certainly mine as well. If he hits that portable rink, he is going to take some beat.
He is, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. I think we talked on a previous podcast of somebody who hadn't really been in and around the PBA circuit and the WBT circuit, and he was the name that came up of, obviously, his focus was more on the Commonwealth Games, outdoor side of things, and he hadn't really stepped in. I think he's qualified in the pairs once. I think he's played the singles before, Jason.
He hasn't. He's not in the singles, no, just pairs. Pairs with Louis about 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was.
The thing for me with him, I just think he has this unbelievable knack of being able to find whatever rink he plays on, regardless of how tricky or what runs or whatever there is, because he's probably one of the best players I've seen using the mat. My comment, and I think his lack of experience on the portable, it's not going to be easy, but I think if there was one man who could potentially overcome that, I think it could be him. Jason, you've gone Sam. Who would be your second pick looking at the draw?
Well, the reason I went Sam very quickly is because, like you just said there, it's, you know, he's been around the game a long time. He hasn't played on the portable rink a lot, but he talks to people a lot that have played on the portable rink. He'll listen to them. He'll listen to the BBC commentary about what's going on and things like that. And I also think, being so heavily involved with the Commonwealth Games squad, with their elite training team and their team, there's a lot of good tactical stuff that he can take from whatever he's been taught at the Commonwealth Games through John McGuinness and Kirk and that lot. And he can apply to the portable rink really, really quickly. I think also I might have a little couple of quid on maybe Darren Weir. Darren Weir, young player, has played on the portable rink before, but he's quite a classy player for his age. Plays quite a classy game, quite a clever, thinks about it very quietly, kind of just moves around really, really quietly. But yeah, I think he's one to watch out for this year as well.
Anybody who's involved in the World Championships, close your ears now, because Richie's coming in with his tips.
Coming in with me tips.
I'm going to put my Stato hat on.
Oh, tips. Is that when you said he's coming in with his tips? I wondered what we're flashing.
Well, as it's the 25th, my Stato, this is a bit Stato here. I've done a bit of research. As it's the 25th year at Potters, I'd like to see a repeat of the first year when an unseeded player won it. Now, who was that unseeded player that won it, Jason?
Well, the first year.
The first year.
Potters.
Jim McCann?
Nope.
Was it Marshall?
You're in there, Les, lad. Ooh. Alec Marshall, because the year before, as Les said, yes. Paul Foster beat Les, and he went on to win it, and he was unseeded as well.
Yep.
I'm a right Stato on a right roll here, Davey, mate. Right yep. roll. So,
is that your tip, Mr. Marshall?
That's my... No. No, unseeded. Unseeded. I've got 16. Okay. I'm taking 16 tips here.
Unbelievable.
So you're going for any one of the 16 or
any one of the 16 seeds. That include, if you remember last time, the Chuckle Brothers lambasted me because I didn't pick you for it.
Well, I'm glad, to be fair.
So I've picked you by your 16th. So every all them 16 players, when you see it, Potters, when you're walking out the door with your bags in your hand, didn't blame me. You didn't get them near enough.
So it's not so much splinters off the fence, but the actual fence poles. Oh, yeah, I'll just go for half the field. It'd be best. Yeah, great stuff, Rich. Top quality stuff, as always.
Well,
on the long
well you know, so an unseeded player wins, and I've got to say, well, I tipped it.
Brilliant.
What do we think about the what do you think about the Terminator being back? I'll be back. Mr. Ross, interesting. Been out a long time now. I was in Ireland and I saw him win that. The semi-final and the final was carried over to the next day. He played outstanding. Played very well.
He plays. Does he play Nicky first game?
He does. Yeah.
So he's got a tough first round, but you never know with Jonathan.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at the draw as well, my second pick, I sort of tend to agree. I've played against Wayne a few times this year down in Lincoln. I think Wayne's obviously over the last couple of years, he's reached latter stages, so he's definitely going to be there. But I mean, he's got an absolute stinker of a first round as well, hasn't he? He's got Catherine on there, who's
hard
on the portable rink. So that's a really tough one. I genuinely think it's a wide open event this year, which I think can only be good for the championships.
Do you not think the seeds, if they're going to get beat, they'll get beat the first game? That's a question for you.
I think the first round, Richie, is the hardest game for the seeded players, without a shadow of a doubt, because you're not you've had the pairs, but you're not really hitting your best form as such. So I think the seeds have always been vulnerable first rounds.
Yeah,
definitely. But it's how the qualifiers cope with the green if it's their first time there.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the key, isn't it? I mean, when you look at the overseas, it's great to see the Aussies back and then the Kiwis back, you know, into the draw. There's some really good young players coming through from Australia.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, they're such a great talent, but it's such a different game, isn't it? I love watching the stuff out there. Love it. But it's a different game. You know, you only have to look at the bowls they play with and the style of play. You know, you're playing full length jack and almost only giving 3 foot of green. Like,
yeah.
No, it is a different game. They play a lot of tacking bowls because obviously they get various different conditions. Coming onto the portable rink where you can't kind of get away. Obviously, you can play with any bowl you want as long as it's legal. And if you choose to play with a weak bowl, you can play with a weak bowl. But I think you get caught out on that particular surface. Probably a bit like people going out over there. It'll take them a little bit of practice just to get used to what they want to play with. It's been great to see, you know, Fozzie out there. For the first time, he seems to have had an absolutely fantastic, fantastic time out there for the few weeks. Do you ever think about going?
Well, me?
Yeah.
Too old now. I could have gone. I could have.
Shoot.
No, well, I could have gone way back in 1998, and I just started my marriage that I'm in now. So, yeah, you look back and you think, what could have been? But now I think I've got a good job. I'm quite established in my career. I'm probably at the wrong end of my bowls career to go to Australia. Is that passion still there to, you know, want to do that day in, day out? Probably not, Jason, if I'm honest.
Probably more being a Phil Mitchell lookalike anyway.
Says he. Hold on, Les, pot calling kettle black there, mind you.
But yeah, I'd never knock anybody for trying it. I think, you know, it's a great opportunity. And I think there's a lot of good youngsters out there that are, I think Connor Sonata's going out there, isn't he, David?
I haven't got a clue what you've just been saying because my laptop went off.
All right. We're talking about Australia, I think.
Not paid his bill.
Not for me now, unfortunately. Not for me.
On the portable ring, Les, there's always seems to be one shot that looks as if it's difficult to play, and that's the in-between runner. Is your preference to hit it hard or try that in-between runner?
No, I think the general consensus with the seeded players is they play a more attacking game as opposed to trying to play the what is should be right shot is not necessarily the best shot because it looks so easy to play these little up and at it shots, but in effect the poor Brink doesn't let you play that. Yeah. It hangs by or it bends really quickly, and you can get drawn into the shot that looks right, but it isn't the right shot. Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of the newbies try to play. How can I put it? Television balls.
Yeah.
Balls that they think, oh, we should be playing this because we're on the telly, rather than in a league game, they'll just go up and smack it.
Exactly, and that's the right shot on the pauper ring. I think it's best to clear it out, start again, because you can get drawn into the play and be airy fairy weight and get nothing for it.
Are we allowed to say fairy? I'm not sure.
With this ad, you can see anything on AF, yeah. Anything goes.
we'll just say it's a Disney fairy. It's fine.
Yeah. Are you frozen? Were you frozen there, Davey?
Very good.
Were you frozen too?
Oh. I'm not going down that route.
Just give me a few minutes. I'll get a spreadsheet.
hashtag.
We were just talking about that Just talking about that last night about one of our highlights of the year. I must admit that was a great qualifier as far as I mean. The day before, nearly lost it. Was it last seconds because your battery was going down on the
storage was going.
Oh, that was at Carlisle, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was the event that Stewie won as well.
Yeah.
So we've got Les going with Wayne and Sam. We've got Jason going with Sam and Darren Weir. We've got myself, who's Sam, and I'm gonna chuck in Mark Royal into that pot because I think Mark's gonna be fighting for his place this year. Having dropped out, I think he'll be gunning and again playing at Lincoln. He plays some really good stuff. So I think Mark's going to be one to look at. And Richie's just gone for everybody.
Everyone.
So. one of them will win. Yeah, definitely. I'm positive one of them will actually win in the end. So that's Richie's.
I'll be going at it!
Great stuff. Well, Rich, I don't know if you've got anything left, but from me, been an absolute pleasure having you both on. Wish you both a fantastic Christmas and New Year, and looking forward to catching up with you both in the New Year down there. I'm really looking forward to it now.
Yeah, and you, David. For sure, Merry Christmas.
Just looking forward to all them roast dinners, I think.
Nah, he's looking forward to getting his steps around that buffet table, apparently.
Yeah, I forgot all about the food.
I think it's great. And just one, can I just say one thing before we go? I know you're on here all the time, waffling away, doing your podcast, thanking everybody, but a massive thanks to you two as well, because, you know, from the PBA side of things, you've done wonders for us, absolute wonders. I know there's been some difficulties with suffering, buffering. but like we've said before, we're going to work together and see how we go forward. But yeah, just on behalf of the World Ball Stock and PBA, huge, huge thank you to both of you.
Thanks very much, mate. As long as people have enjoyed the stream, whether they've turned the commentary off is another matter. Like, but it's very relaxed. like you say, it's a very relaxed commentary, and we're very grateful that you've let us do it, because obviously national government bodies wouldn't let us anywhere near them. You've got to be professional, you know. You'll never get away with having a flashing dick on the screen.
A flashing what?
A flashing dick.
Yeah.
For those who can't see Richie at the moment, he is talking about his bow tie.
I was going to say, you might want to bloody finish the sentence, Rick.
Oh, flashing boot.
He's currently running around the bedroom windmilling as we speak.
Windmilling.
Oh, brilliant.
Les, what have you... Les, I bet you didn't think you'd come on here. Oh, what are you taking photographs and everything of us?
Loving it.
I hope that's not going to be your phone server, mind you.
Oh, dear. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Great stuff, guys. Have a great, like I said, great Christmas, great New Year, and thanks so much for coming on.
No worries. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Les. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, guys.
Good Christmas, everybody.
Bye-bye. And you. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go for Show 45, another one over and done with. We hope you've had a great Christmas. Don't forget to tune in for part 2 of our Boxing Day special. As always, thanks for your support.
Thank you for listening and hope you've enjoyed the show.
This has been a Dodgy Production.